You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Your metabolism is the process your body uses to make and burn energy from food. Now, you rely on your metabolism to breathe, think, digest, move, keep you warm during the winter, and stay cool during the summer. It's a common belief that raising your metabolism helps you burn more calories and increase weight loss. Now, which makes sense, but it's really easier said than done. Think about the 160 million Americans who are either obese or overweight. Nearly three quarters of American men and more than 60% of women are obese or overweight. Definitely something needs to change, and too many people are suffering or even dying from chronic illnesses linked to obesity. Now, today on Wellness for Life, we have Dr. Alan Christensen, a naturopathic endocrinologist who focuses on thyroid function, adrenal health, and metabolism. He is a New York Times bestselling author whose books include The Metabolism Reset, The Adrenal Reset Diet, and The Complete Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease. Now, he is here to share his insight on why people are overfat, and the key to losing fat is in the secret life of your liver. Hi, Alan. Great to have you on my show, man.
Hey, Suzanne. Really glad to get to hang out with you here.
Yeah. Listen, I'd love to know, what inspired you to write The Metabolism Reset Diet?
You know, my patients have always had struggles with just weight and energy, from thyroid disease especially. And many also have diabetes. We treat that in our clinic. There was a big study in 2011 in which they showed that diabetes could be completely reversed. And it's pretty wild. They did CT scans of the pancreas and showed that within 6 weeks, the pancreas could regrow the ability to store insulin properly. And it was just exciting. Now, what they did was pretty extreme. They did a 600-calorie liquid-only diet. And honestly, Suzanne, it was not the stuff you'd want. It was like corn syrup and corn oils. But they saw this change, and it really inspired me to see what was possible. So I thought, you know, being a naturopath, how could we do this with whole, real food? Maybe it could be faster. Maybe it could be not so extreme. And we started testing and settled on a program that could achieve the same results. And we also saw the benefit of metabolism coming back again.
Wow. So then, I mean, there's a lot of these centers out there that do the 600 calorie diet now, and I'm sure that they started popping up after this type of exposure of this type of study. And do we all need to go on such a, hardcore 600 calorie diet for us to be able to improve our metabolism?
Well, any way that someone has done something that's helped them in some way, I don't fault that. But many of our patients have the biggest struggles. And then the other thing I think about is, you know, what happens long-term to muscle mass? And that can be a pitfall about just regular fasting or too extreme food deprivation, is that you can lose a lot of muscle tissue. And so you might drop a few pounds dramatically at first, but then if you regain, that's often because you've eaten up a lot of muscle in the process. So yeah, I wanted to be sure I could do this in a way that kept people from losing their healthy muscle mass.
Right. That totally makes sense. You know, you mentioned in your book, by the way, thanks so much. I love it. Love it. Love it. And I even, emailed you secretly saying, hey, I want to get in your program because I want to see what this is all about. And, because you're looking at an organ that most people don't look at. Now, I've done liver cleanses, you know, for many, many years. But I really want to talk about how you do it and how unique it is, and that it really applies for everyone. Anyone and everyone can do this. Isn't that true?
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. There's a lot of cleanses out there, and many can be helpful in some ways. But yeah, as important as the liver is, it's also delicate. And it's easy to just break down a lot of fat and get waste circulating. But then the liver has to process that. And that's the pitfall. If you just cut out a lot of food or go too low in your food intake, then yeah, you may force waste to start circulating, but you've also taken away all the stuff the liver needs to process those wastes.
You know, I was just seeing a new patient yesterday, and he came in with some of his scans. He was a patient that actually was diagnosed with colon cancer stage one, so they removed a big chunk of his colon, but he's completely 100% free. But one of the things that they said in the scan was that he actually had a fatty liver. So let's go into a little bit about the function of the liver, and why is it that we are a lot of Americans and people around the world who have who are suffering from fatty liver? They're coming with other conditions.
For sure, and this is a huge condition, and it's on a spectrum. You know, so everyone has some fat in their liver. When you cross the threshold of somewhere around 5%, then we call that fatty liver syndrome. And the tough part is that it's easy to see when you're looking for it and it's really bad, but you can't always see it when it's at the early stages. And like your patient would happen to show up on a scan. So he would have had to have had more than a third of his liver cells fibrosed or bridged together for that to be visible. Because you can have fatty liver and have a scan done and have nothing show up. You know, one of the most dramatic studies I've read along this line, the only way you can know for sure if someone has it is by liver biopsy. And you never do that for a screen, except for in the case where someone's going to donate liver tissue to a loved one. And before they do that, they've had to already had scans and blood tests and tons of things to show that they're healthy. So in adults that did just that, they had normal liver enzymes. They were not diabetic. They weren't overweight. They had nothing show up on their scans. But when they did a liver biopsy, just to see if they could donate liver tissue, 40.2% of them had fatty liver disease when they had nothing else wrong, when nothing else was visible. So it's really prevalent. And even those that don't have the overt disease, whenever somebody's having a real struggle between their energy or their weight with stubborn fat, there's almost always some early version of fatty liver behind that.
That's fascinating. I mean, that 48%, that's a huge amount of people. And you got to also think about, gosh, the resiliency of our body showing that nothing else shows up. You know what I mean? That's amazing to me too.
Yeah.
That there's nothing going on with your biomarkers. You're not experiencing any symptoms, but this is a hidden problem. This is a silent issue. And you know, I think this is important that,
I'm sorry. One quick biomarker that may be of interest to your audience. So pretty much anyone who has blood tests, they have the thing called the chemistry panel. We called this a SMAC way back when. You probably remember that too, but and that'll include liver enzymes. And there's one called the ALT. Now, the normal range for most labs is going to be between upper 40s and low 60s. But there's like no debate in the world of liver specialists that if you're a woman and your ALT score is above 19, something's wrong. So you can be completely inside that normal range and even in the middle of the normal range. But if you're above 19, there's some problem. And of course, many other things could cause that. It could be a reaction to a medication or a hidden infection or you name it. But barring any other explanation, the most common thing is fatty liver. So that's one little pearl your listeners could look for in their last blood test.
Yeah. So not only is the fact that, okay, we've got fat in the liver, it's congested with liver. The liver's not able to burn that fat and it keeps on accumulating in that. But it's also the other conditions that come up because of the fatty liver. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing is that, I don't know, I've thought this through and almost everything that goes wrong, apart from just getting hit by a truck, you know, all the versions of chronic disease, they seem to tie in to there being fuel stuck in the body. You know, there's some link with the cancers and the diabetes are direct and the heart disease is tied into that. And even a lot of susceptibility to infectious disease ties into that. But when your liver's healthy, it can help your body by giving it fuel from its stores. But somewhere along the way, it still has fuel stored up, but it can't get that fuel out anymore. And that's really the onset of disease. And this is something that it always does to some degree. I mean, like right at this moment, as we're talking, our brains are using about a quarter to a third of our energy, but our body is using energy right now. And we're not eating. I mean, I'm not eating at this moment. I'm sure you're not. So what's happening is your liver is drawing out of its stores. It's got a special kind of carbohydrate called glycogen and then a stored kind of fat called triglyceride. And it draws out to meet our needs because we're not eating every moment of the day, but we're using energy every moment. So it always does that. But by order of degree, some people get less able to pull energy out. And that's where it gets all stuck and jammed in. And the whole process of other diseases, the heart disease, the cancers, the strokes, the diabetes, they all have some tie-in to this inability to use fuel properly. That's where inflammation starts.
So the metabolism reset diet is specifically to reset your liver's ability to burn fuel. I mean, ultimately, that's the key, isn't it? That's why you say it's the secret is in the liver.
That's exactly it. And we've been led to think that, you know, some people's lot in life is just they have to struggle and they have to diet or else they're going to not be at a good weight. And the reality is when your liver's healthy again, you don't have to. You shouldn't have to. And you should have your appetite and your energy and your body size. They should sync up when it works right. So it's not a matter of the discipline or not trying hard enough. It's a matter of fixing that core problem.
You know, you know me, you and I are buddies, so we see each other regularly. And I'm telling you, you and I never really shift in our body weight ever. I've known you for how many, six years, I think now. And you're still the same guy that I knew then. And you probably say the same thing about me. And we both have relatively, I would say, high metabolisms because I've eaten with you. So we eat a lot of food. We consume a lot of calories. So I am hoping that that's a reason. One of the reasons that I can eat that much amount of calories at one sitting is because I have a high metabolism and that my liver is functioning optimal. I've never had a liver scan before, and my ALT is, you know, completely on the low end. So I'm going to believe that. But you're giving me some ideas, you know, like, okay, I want to make sure in the future. I definitely want to make sure in the future that my liver is functioning up to par.
You know, so when you and I sit down to a meal, and if we have more at that meal than we needed that day, our liver just holds on to the extra. And then some other time when we're busier, we'll, you know, have a little bit less. Our liver gives off that whatever it had in storage. But when someone's liver is not working right, any extra food they get, their liver can't hold on to it. And it becomes fat that won't go away. And that's why, you know, if any listeners have this experience to where if they deviate one iota from their diet, now they're 2-3 pounds heavier in a day. And you think about that, they couldn't have consumed that much extra food if 3,500 calories is a pound. So it's really the liver that's doing that. And then vice versa, if they do lower their food intake and now they feel exhausted, well, your body has an abundance of fuel available. I mean, all of us have at least a pound or two of fat. The leanest of us have about, you know, 5-10 pounds of fat. And if things work perfectly, each one of those could supply our needs for a couple of days. So it's not for lack of energy, it's lack of the body being able to tap into it. So that's where it's exciting to get that back again.
You mentioned in your book about metabolic resiliency. Is that what you're talking about? How you can switch over from using it, storing it, but you use it as well.
Exactly. And that's just it. So when there's too much, more than you need, because we never perfectly estimate our needs. We never perfectly, our appetite doesn't perfectly line up with our needs on a given day. So when we're resilient, we've got a good metabolism, we can hold that extra without gaining weight. And then the days where we get less than we need, we can still stay energized and not be out of control with cravings and, you know, needing to go on just extended binges that we're not driven towards that. You know, those things are often much less psychological than we think. They're often just driven by the body trying to make up for this fuel deficit.
That's right. That's right. You know, you being an endocrine expert, you've also tied in the thyroid condition, which is so common and even getting higher in the rate of thyroid disease in our country here. You know, you connect that thyroid with liver problems, don't you?
Mm-hmm, for sure. So thyroid hormones, if there's the tiniest discrepancy between how much should be there and how much is there, then the liver just fills up with fat so much faster. And you know, a quarter of the population has some level of autoimmunity against your thyroid. And once that slows down, they're just doubly at risk for this problem to emerge.
Gosh, you know, does it matter the type of fat you eat, whether if you've got problems with your liver and your liver is congested with fat and you're not capable of burning that fat, utilizing it as fuel, does it matter what kind of fat it is, whether it's the good fats such as the healthy oils like olive oil, walnut oil, or even animal fat, like what I'm talking about, like meats, you know, white fat, butter and things like that. Does it matter?
Well, not a lot. And this is fascinating. So the body has a certain need for fuel and a certain capacity to use fuel. And once you go above that, things work completely different. You know, one of the food ingredients that's been talked about as being the most harmful for the liver is fructose, for example. And even fructose on the animal studies they've done if an animal is just breaking even, they're just getting exactly enough food, and say half of their food comes from fructose, it doesn't hurt their liver at all. But once they're given their full food needs, and then even like 10% extra comes from fructose, well, now that damages their liver. But that same 10% extra could also be from fat or from whatever else. It seems that in these types of studies, gram for gram, saturated fat is amongst the most harmful. But the differences are small. It really comes down to whether the body is able to meet its fuel needs or whether it's above that in some way.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I've been noticing quite a bit in my practice, you know, I do a lot of blood testing, and we do it regularly, anywhere in the every three to six months. And sometimes patients I haven't seen in a while, they come in, and I, of course, I'll do the blood labs, and their cholesterol, LDL markers, triglycerides are sky high. I mean, like, what happened in the last 6 months? And you know what they tell me? That they've been doing the ketogenic, the butter in my coffee kind of thing, and the ketogenic diet where there's a great deal of fat in their diet. And I'm really cautious about that. I mean, I don't believe that even with our ancestrally, we've eaten that much, unless you're an Inuit and you live in Alaska or Nordic, where there's, you know, that kind of food. I don't believe that that is the norm, you know, the natural way of eating. Now, I want to ask you that.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, for a while, we thought that every speck of fat was evil, and that was silly. But now we've gone the opposite extreme. You know, there's in our diet, you know, one principle that I think is almost irrefutable is that too many calories at some point are harmful. And, you know, we can't always perfectly predict how many calories someone needs, and counting calories is not always the best method for weight loss. But if you take any person and you triple their caloric intake, that's going to be a bad thing. So that's one thing that's pretty indisputable. And then the other point is that it's a bad thing to fall behind on essential micronutrients. You know, we need to get magnesium and B6 and B vitamins and, you know, all these things. And so if you put those two together, it's obvious that you'd want to focus your diet on foods that have a lot of essential nutrients, but don't have a whole lot of empty calories. And with fat, all the food sources you mentioned there are foods that don't really have any essential nutrients. We've got two essential fats. We've got omega-6 and omega-3, and it's ridiculously easy to meet those needs. And once we've met those needs, there's no more essential nature to that. So it ends up being a lot of empty calories. You know, one last point, you mentioned the Inuit, and this, I stumbled across this rather recently. There was a pretty big paper done in 2003, and the upshot of it was that all the things we've heard about the Inuits having higher fat diets and exceptional health, they probably did have higher fat diets. They probably did not have exceptional health. There's actually the little bit of evidence that exists suggests that they were even less healthy than similar populations were.
Wow. That can clearly be only because they didn't have, you know, biologically they needed micronutrients, as you're saying, the vitamins and minerals that are essential for life. And they weren't meeting those needs. They basically did have to live through their environment because that's what that was available. They don't have any, you know, grass. They don't have any, any type of plant life. And that's what ended up happening. You know, in Korea, what we did, in the wintertime, it could be 4 to 5 months of snow. I mean, like 10 degrees below, 20 degrees below zero. And that's what I remember. And what we did, we ate fermented foods, kimchi. And that was our way of getting our vegetables. And it's that's one way you can live in these types of extreme weathers. But you know what? Again, though, places in the northern and you know, where it's super cold, that's not heard of. Nowadays, in the urban, you know, times and modern times, we ship everything in. But even the shipping, that's not even healthy food because you're loaded with pesticides and chemicals and GMO foods and whatnot. I'd like to ask you, we talked a bit about ketogenic. How is your reset diet, the metabolism reset diet, different from the other forms of diets that are out there now that are, you know, that are out, for instance, calorie restriction? We talked about ketogenic, intermittent fasting, fasting mimicking diet. What's the difference between yours and theirs?
Yeah, great question. So a couple of distinctions. It's short term. It's for a set time frame. It's for 28 days. And I do reduce the fuel intake. And by fuel, I refer to the carbs and fats. So also, if there were ketone supplements, they would go in that category. So you're consuming less fuel. But I make those a distinction because I want people to consume a healthy amount of protein. Now, the real goal is not so much weight loss as it is waist loss. And that's the exciting thing, is that a lot of waist size predicts liver health and predicts liver size. So when someone gets less fat in their liver, they have less inches around their belly. And because of that, I want them to hold on to their muscle mass. And by doing it in those ways, they get lasting benefits. And when they're done for 28 days, you see, I think most people have really got a good idea on what they should and should not eat. And I think most people do that reasonably well, but their bodies are in a place where they just can't respond to it properly. So it's so exciting to see someone go through the 28 days and just transform how their liver is working. And then afterwards, go back to a reasonably healthy diet and have it work different than the way it did in the past. Have it energize them better and let them stay at a good body weight, even though it didn't reach that there before. So that's a big difference, is that I assure they're getting enough protein to meet their needs. And that's to keep the muscle tissue, but also to help the liver properly detox. The liver depends upon certain essential amino acids to get the toxic fat out from between its cells. So yeah, those are the big distinctions.
So then in your diet, you use protein shakes. Is that correct?
Yep. We focus on those, and mostly plant-derived protein. You know, when someone is getting a lot of fat out of their bodies, there is also often a load on their pH pathways. And sometimes people can see things like gallstones or kidney stones or gout emerge from rapid fat loss. But by focusing more upon alkalizing protein sources, that's less of a concern because there's less acid load for the body to have to process.
Can we talk about something that America, you know, loves? Alcohol. I'm a big believer that alcohol not only has an ill effect on your gut and your gut microbiome, but of course, it's going to have an impact on your liver.
For sure. You know, and the idea about alcohol being a health food, it turned out that was based upon some false perception. What happened was people would look at populations that consumed no alcohol and then compare them against populations that consumed a little bit or a lot. And what they saw was that people that consumed none, they died more commonly than those that consumed a little bit. And so they figured, oh, wow, they must be healthier because they're drinking a little bit of alcohol. Those that drink none must be less healthy. And at a superficial level, it made sense. But then some people thought about it better and said, wait a minute. So these people that are not drinking alcohol, you know, why are they not? And are they all the same? And it turned out that those that don't drink alcohol are comprised of two very different groups. So one group of people chooses not to. You know, they could, but they choose not to. The other group medically cannot consume alcohol. They might have been addicted to it in the past. Maybe they're on some medications that are not safe to consume with alcohol. Maybe they have health conditions that make them not able to consume it. And the problem is that second group, you know, for varying other reasons, they have higher rates of mortality. You know, they're not so much healthy people. So once you take them out, and once you say, okay, so let's say those that don't drink by choice, how do they stack up against those that drink a little bit by choice? And it turns out that once you do that, the health benefits of small amounts of alcohol, they completely vanish. You know, then the people that don't consume by choice, they have the lowest rates of mortality and heart disease. And, you know, one thing that's a real attention getter is that even the smallest amount seems to be a big risk factor for breast cancer, case in point.
Wow. Well, that's part of the reason why I wanted to share this, because, you know, I get a lot of this with my patients. They come in and they say that they drink every night just one glass with my dinner. And but even so, that one glass is the reason why they're overweight, they're more inflamed, their joints hurt, they can't sleep, they have anxiety, they've got yeast overgrowth. Yeah. I mean, I can go on and on and on about all the other issues that they've got, but that's what happens, you know, and I'm glad that you are sharing how important it is to watch out on the amount of alcohol. And then when you do this,
I'm sorry, I was just recapping the same thing. I was saying it was a mistake that they were told for so long that it was something that helped their health, because yeah, you're right, it really doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned that it's a 28-day reset. Now, can you do this more than 28 days?
Well, you sure can. And what happens is that I encourage anyone to do it once per year just to maintain their benefits. But there are people that will do it like And we'll see dramatic amounts of pounds, but more dramatic amounts of inches lost. And many people will do it and say, hey, I'm down a bunch and this is cool, but I'd like to go further. And in those cases, I suggest that's fine. Just take 2 weeks off. There's some data saying that if you lower your fuel intake for more than 6 weeks, you may slow your metabolism. But if you're meeting your protein needs and keeping it under 6 weeks, in this case four, which is clearly fine, then there's no drawback that way. So I encourage someone who wants to go further with it that they're welcome to, but just take a 2 week break. And my experience is that most people, even if they have a fair amount of inches they want to reduce, it rarely takes more than about three cycles to get there. And then afterwards, it's just one per year for maintenance.
Well, that's pretty easy. I would like to ask you, do you recommend supplements during the reset diet?
You know, just a couple of basic things. There's not much that's necessary that doesn't come from the diet, but there are a couple of micronutrients that are helpful. And I do go into that in the book, but it really is just a basic one. One pitfall that I talk about, because so many of my readers and people who follow the work are on thyroid medications, is that it's easy to get too much iodine. So one pitfall about a lot of common supplementation is that if you're on thyroid medicine, they've already got a lot of iodine in them. And then if you're taking a multivitamin that has iodine, that can easily put you over the safe amount, which is about 300 micrograms total for someone who has thyroid disease. And most thyroid medicines already have 2 to 250 micrograms of iodine in them.
Oh, so it's really important that,
diet too.
You're right. Yeah, you got to look at a lot of these multi-minerals, multivitamin minerals. They do have iodine in it as a natural source. And people eat it in the seaweed. I mean, the seaweed snack craze is crazy, right? I mean, everyone's eating seaweeds these days, including kids. And so you might be getting an overabundance of sea vegetables, iodine from that, and iodized salt.
That one. Yeah, exactly. Iodized salt does have some. The seaweed snacks, that's nori, and that's not the highest. That's rather lower. There's a little bit in there. Kelp is one where if you're adding kelp onto things like kelp supplements or kelp mixed in salt, kelp can really get high pretty easily. That's one where it's easy to get way too much iodine from.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. So it's important for everyone before you go on this metabolism reset diet to measure your circumference of your waist, because you're saying that there's going to be waist loss. And for sure, so many millions of people are dealing with this obese and, of course, overweight issue. What other symptoms will you see shifting? Not just weight loss. What else can you see with patients or people that are going to be on the metabolism reset diet? What are the other positive aspects of going on this cleanse, or I should say, this way of living?
You know, that's the exciting thing, is that there's compounds called adipokines, and they're cells within the fat, within the organs, and they make toxic chemicals that raise inflammation. So everything inflamed gets better when your body gets less fat in your liver. And that can be autoimmune disease, that can be irritable bowel syndrome, that can be migraines, that can be chronic joint pain or arthritis. Yeah, all sorts of things get better when the body is just less inflamed and liver's working more effectively.
Oh, we all need that. Thanks so much, Alan. Tell me, let's talk about where can we find your book and then more about you and your work.
Easy thing. Anywhere you would buy a book, you can find the book. It'll be Amazon and all the major bookstores. And you can also get it through us. We've got some great bonuses like cooking videos that were a blast to make that were specific for that. And also just some good metrics to track your progress at drchristensen.com. Lots of ways to spell Christensen. Mine is S-O-N. So yeah, T-I-A-N-S-O-N, drchristensen.com.
Fantastic. Oh, great. I love your book. Everyone out there, you know, we all need a reset. Thank you so much, Dr. Alan Christensen, for being on our show. Really appreciate it. Now, if you've learned anything great of value here, and I know you have, and we all can reuse a reset to our metabolism, right? So, you know, please do share the show with people that you know who can really help and benefit. It will change their life. Now, if this is your first time listening to our show, please subscribe so that I can continue to serve you with the most natural and current health information available today. And also connect with me on Instagram at Dr. Suzanne. I post regularly on how to become the best version of yourself through self-care and nutrition and even kimchi, movement and lifestyle. And whatever you do, definitely comment so that I can directly engage with you. Yes, I answer all my comments personally. Now, if you need more help in digging deeper to get to the root cause of your health issues so you can feel better again today? You know, I work with people globally through phone and Skype consultations. So just go to my website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.